Monteverdi was equally adept at writing Renaissance-style madrigals, and he wrote many madrigals, as well as writing the new style opera. And he made a distinction in his own music between writing old style and writing new style. He wrote 19 stage works. Now, of his 19 stage works, only 6 have survived intact, including his first opera, Orfeo, and his last opera of 1642, The Coronation of Poppea. I would suggest to anyone listening to me right now that if you don't feel you've made the kind of impact on the world that you want to make, if you feel your life hasn't quite met its potential yet, then I suggest that you put as a goal to rediscover some of these missing Monteverdi stage works. I would be rather grateful, as would all of civilization, if we can dig some of these 13 missing pieces out from the trash heap of history. Who knows what jewels have been denied us? Anyway, I would encourage you to spend part of your life doing that. If nothing else, you get to go to Italy. Back to Monteverdi. In Monteverdi's hands, opera passed out of the experimental stage. His operas become models for the next 4 generations of composers. Donald Grout writes this. The music of Orfeo was greeted by contemporaries as just another example of the Florentine style, and indeed, the general plan of the opera justified this view. Nevertheless, the differences are fundamental. Monteverdi was a musician of genius, soundly trained in technique, concerned very much with musical and dramatic truth, and very little with antiquarian theories. He combined the madrigal style of the late 16th century with the orchestral and scenic apparatus of the old intermezzi and a new conception of the possibilities of solo singing. Orfeo represents the first attempt to apply the full resources of the art of music to opera, unhampered by any limitations. We should think of Orfeo as an incredible synthesis, a synthesis of virtually every expressive device and musical genre available to this time. We are going to hear madrigal choruses during the course of this opera. We're going to hear popular rhymed songs. We're going to hear popular dances. And we're also going to hear the best recitative ever written by anyone, any place, any time. The instrumental ensemble contained over 40 different instruments, as opposed to the 4 instruments that Perry called for in Eurydice. So we're going to hear terrific instrumental color, and we will be aware of extraordinary types of singing, both expressive, song-like, and narrative, all 3. Please, first, let's look at the text. We are going to listen to the analogous section in Orfeo by Monteverdi that we heard in the Peri, although now we will also hear the Messenger's song, as well as Orpheus's response. The joyful celebratory mood of the first act and the first half of the second act will suddenly and painfully come to an end here with the coming of the messenger, in this case, the sad, the pathetic Sylvia. Please, let me just read first her lines. These are lines by Alessandro Strigio. And then we're going to go back and talk about what Monteverdi does to deepen and indeed intensify the meaning of her drama through the application of his extraordinary music. First, the messenger. She has come sadly bedraggled, downcast to Orpheus and his homeboys who have been partying in anticipation of the upcoming nuptials. In any case, she sings. In a flowered meadow, with her friends, she was gathering flowers to make a garland for her hair. And everything in the music here is dour and pained, filled with pauses as she tries to find the words to tell Orpheus the untellable. When a treacherous serpent that was hidden in the grass bit her foot with its venomous fangs, then all at once her face became pale, and in her eyes the light that vied with the sun grew dim. Then all of us, terrified and grieving, gathered around her, tempting the spirit that was dying in her with fresh water and powerful songs. And at this point of the story, Monteverdi pushes her forward faster and faster as the words begin to tumble out of her mouth. But nothing helped, alas, for she, opening her languid eyes slightly, called to you, Orpheus, Orpheus. and after a deep sigh, died in my arms, and I remained with heart full of pity and horror.